Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I happen to be a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. If you keep your open mind, I hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. If you keep an open mind, you will see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. And I think that's going to be especially important today. If you are not aware of the subject of the show, let me tell you, I am interviewing Costa Macrius, and he's an international networker and creative artist who works on behalf of right relations between all life forms. He was born in Fort Wayne, Indiana in 1953. In 1977, he earned a BA in computer science from Indiana University. He has been a successful software consultant in the Silicon Valley for almost four decades. But most importantly, he has been a dedicated spiritual activist since his teens. As a young man, Costa became fascinated with the mysteries of the universe. He taught himself astrology, meditation, astronomy, and read widely on extraterrestrial UFOs, comparative religion, science fiction, spirituality, Atlantis, and many other metaphysical topics. His current passion is ETLetsTalk.com and the ET Let's Talk community, which has 5,000 members in over 50 countries. He is creating and nurturing a global citizens movement which contacts many benevolent star civilizations currently visiting the Earth. This movement seeks to empower individuals and groups to interact with these ET beings and to co-create with them a positive planetary transformation, a new earth of peace, free energy, abundance, and justice. Costa believes that we are living in a unique, challenging, and wonderful point in history as we transition to a new mode of enlightened and spiritual living where planetary peace reigns between humanity and all life forms on and of Earth. And I trust, Costa, that that also translates to the other universes.
That sure does. On and off Earth is a great way to think of that, because life is everywhere, isn't it?
It sure is. And we have only just glimpsed or have a hint of where that life may come from. And it's all spirit connected. And as I see it, it's all connected to one source from which we are all unique reflections.
I totally agree with you. The days of looking at not only other human beings, but other beings not from Earth as the other, you know, even using the language other like I just did, I think those days are coming to an end, maybe not as fast as we would like, but people are slowly understanding that, as you were saying, there's one life out there, one life that in its myriad forms beats through all those forms in all universes, all times, all places. The sooner we recognize that, the sooner we will, I guess, stop trying to destroy or hurt each other, whether, you know, it's our next human being next to us or a visitor who's coming in a starcraft to make a connection with us. So I totally agree with you. We are one. Some days it's hard as a human being to remind ourselves of that, isn't it? As we watch what happens in the mass media, where humans are behaving badly. But at this point, we have no choice but to evolve, or humanity as we know it can't continue in this present state on this wonderful, beautiful planet. So that's why we're in this time of transformation. And what I'm doing at etletstalk.com is creating a community that is on the leading edge of connecting human beings and the interstellar civilizations that are very interested in us and what is happening here at this time. They've told us so, and they show us in many different ways. So we're building those bridges and teaching people how to make connection to ET, because actually that acronym ET should really be more like ETI, which is extraterrestrial intelligence. It shows us that behind the craft that we may see in the sky or on the ground, and there are reports of such from all countries for a long time for many different kinds of people, but behind those craft are intelligences who have spiritual evolutions like we do, and who have navigated here in an intelligent way to study, to help, and to make themselves known and to co-create with us. And that's the basic premise that I have today as we talk, is contacting these what I consider spiritual civilizations and working with them, because we need all the help we can get here as we're trying to figure out our human problems.
Well, what are some of the ways that they have communicated with us in the past? I mean, you've talked about how they visited all different countries and peoples, and this has probably been going on throughout time immemorial, although it only seems like 20th century when that possibility was first raised. What are some of the ways that they have helped us?
They have, as you noted, I think, been here throughout our history. Recently, for example, people like David Wilcock have been showing archaeological evidence from many cultures of the past who have written and artistic visual evidence that the gods that they worship really may have been extraterrestrial beings. And David Wilcock, for example, goes to great length to make his case, because he does this in a very scholarly way, because he's read a lot and has the ability to back it up with images and text from a lot of ancient civilizations. So I am in that mold of his, where I do believe we've been visited in the historical past, and there is evidence for it, so that it really wasn't something that was totally new to Earth. And, you know, with the Roswell crash and with the Kenneth Arnold sightings in 1947, I believe, which was the modern era of ufology that awakened at least the United States' interest and thereafter the rest of the world about the visitations, which started coming more and more public back then. So there has always been a record of this. In the modern era, we've had the sky sightings, lots of contactees in the 50s and 60s in this country and in other countries. We're also reporting, you know, physical contact, some of them landings, some of them being beamed aboard. And I don't like to use the word abduction, because I don't believe there's always a negative part to that, although I don't discount people's experiences, but I do value what people feel about the subject. And yet, for me, the word contactee is more accurate. So there's been physical contact, there's been sightings, and if you fast forward to where we are today, like in our community, as you mentioned, we have about 5,000 members in more than 50 countries. They've been taught the simple method to make this communication using consciousness. And what I try to tell people is that this contact can come in many different ways. Though a visual sighting is obviously very exciting, whether it's a far off light in the sky that flashes and moves in an erratic pattern that no terrestrial aircraft could do, or whether it's like a flyover of your house. And I have members in my community who have video and experiences of low flyovers of craft. Whether it's that or another method of a communication the ETs use, they seem to try to do it in a way that's safe for them and for you, for us. And I'll talk more about that later, why it may not be safe. But the other methods that we have gotten contact successfully in the field also involve telepathic messages. Those are fairly common. Also, lucid dreams may come after an evening of or a day of trying to make contact, which are very clearly from the ETs. Or during the actual contact experience, myself included, have had a very strong touch or push on our knee or on our shoulder when there was nobody close by, or maybe electrical phenomenon would happen. For example, smartphones that were literally turned off would turn themselves on and start playing a song that was related to space or astronomy or ET things, that it was very clear that, you know, that the subject matter was chosen, the song subject matter was chosen for the experience of trying to make while making the contact. Also, other electric phenomenon audio phenomenon, like radar detectors going off in the middle of a wilderness where there was nothing electrical around there, you know, like 20 miles from nowhere. Some of our teams go out very far into the field to try to get clear sky that doesn't have light pollution or electrical interference. They will have radar detectors that go off in crazy patterns, or sometimes in repeatable patterns, as the people are making contact in the field. And there's no other source that could be coming from. And the list goes on. I've just mentioned a few that come to mind here. But over the years, and it's been since, I've been doing this since 2006, in a more organized fashion since 2010 with our monthly events of making contact, you know, during that time, hundreds of reports have come in from our teams that just shows you the creativity that the ETs have in making the contact, so that, again, it's not just limited to the sky contact or seeing the lights up there, which is cool, but showing that they're willing to cooperate and contact us in so many other ways. And that's what we try to teach people, is to recognize those ways. And we have a program where we will be teaching folks to recognize their psychic abilities, which ones that they use, because they're not all equal in every person. But by recognizing mm-hmm. which psychic abilities they have, they can then learn with exercises how to develop them, to trust them, and validate them. And once having done that, it provides a channel for extraterrestrial intelligence to very reliably reach each person in the customized way that person can receive the information. So we're really excited about that, because it is a sort of one size doesn't fit all, but it's that customized thing where one person may be more auditory and able to hear messages. Another person may be clairvoyant and they don't know it, but they can discover it through our teaching. And once they do that, then they're able to receive pictures from ET intelligence. That's just to mention two examples. And those are some of the very common examples. Many people can be and are clairaudient or clairvoyant. Others can feel through touch to a lesser extent, and the ETs will use that as well. So that's what makes it exciting. You can have a group of people out there making contact. You can have 10 people out there, and they each receive information in 10 different ways, and ET may be able to customize the communication for each of those people to make sure that they have an experience. And that's, like I said, those are the reports that we get and what we keep trying to train people to do, because there's nothing like having your own experience, David. You know, I grew up hearing secondhand reports from close family members and friends whose word I trusted about close encounters they had. I mean, literal craft flying over their car, the engine dying, classic thing. You know, the craft hovering silently overhead with rotating lights underneath and then zipping off this way and that way. Classic kind of stuff has happened to people I know who told me that one-to-one. But once you have your own experience, and again, we try to teach people the psychic ways to make that connection, nobody can take that from you. And no authority can tell you, move right along, nothing to see here. Look the other way. Here's what the truth is. Our movement is really all about everyone being their own authority, being taught to experience for themselves and making up their own minds and not necessarily having someone else tell them, or not at all having someone else tell them what to believe and how to believe it. Even if it's me, you know, this is not a guru trip here. We're all about educating and teaching people to do their own thing and to be part of a community that is doing that, and then to accept or reject whatever it is that they discover as they make their ET contact.
You know, one of the things that I'm curious about, a lot of times when people can't comprehend what's going on, or if they perceive something as a trauma, real or imagined, they disassociate and have a blocked memory. And I'm wondering if there have been examples of people who've had blocked memories that have later resurfaced when there's been some trigger that's reminded them that they've had such a contact.
Oh, I am certain that is true. Because a given contact to two different people may be reacted to in two different ways. One may have a spiritual experience and be ready and open and without fear. And as you mentioned, another person may see that same contact as some kind of a trauma, which then would become repressed. And then, like you say, triggered later on. I know that has gone on, and there are groups of experiencers, call themselves, who are getting together these days to share information with one another. I'm not aware of their names right now because I just recently became aware of them. But they are forming and addressing that problem where they take each other's experiences seriously in terms of whether it was real or imagined. They provide a space where they can talk about it safely and help mm-hmm. each other get through any kind of trauma that may have been triggered so that memories come forth. I agree with you that because we're human beings, and if we're full of fear, we will have fearful reactions and we'll deal with them in a different way than if we were full of anticipation and love and openness. And that's true about so many experiences about being human, much less having like an interstellar experience on top of that.
Well, fear quite often triggers conflict, war, what have you. And you referred earlier to humans behaving badly. I'm wondering if that's part of the reason we haven't had more contact, if the ETs are just observing us and trying to find when the time is right so that the fear level will not be as great and that we'll be more welcoming of other understandings or other beings. Do you have any sense about that?
Yes, I do. I do believe that not only are they here observing, but they're helping us in places where our free will allow it. We've been told, for mm-hmm. example, that the reason we haven't had a World War III, a nuclear outbreak, is that innumerable times as crazy people pressed buttons and were trying to start a war, and I'm sure that there were times when these buttons were pressed, ETs intervened. We've been told that directly on many occasions, and that they would not allow that extreme condition to happen, a breakout of World War III. Now, given that, though, there's a lot of free will that they have had to stand by and watch human beings exercise. You know, we sit there beating up on each other with smaller clubs, you know, just armor shells and stuff instead of nuclear weapons. And I'm sure they probably have to stand by and watch as we try to do our human things to reduce conflict, to negotiate peace treaties, and to get along. So this must be for me, I would imagine, a spiritual frustration, knowing that if everybody could drop the violence and learn to get along, there would be an incredible future for everyone. And that's why I think the ETs are here. I've been told there's probably more than 100 civilizations visiting here. They're not all at the same level, but they, whether they're neutral or, and most of them are on the positive side, benevolent, they're caring about this. They want to cooperate with us, and they want to see that fear that you're talking about be lessened. And there's two different kinds of fear here that I think we're talking about. There's the fear that human beings have of each other, you know, of the other race, the other color, the other religion, that seems to have justified throughout history us beating up on each other, right? You know, tit for tat. I do this to you, then you do it back me, and we've had a cycle of violence, unfortunately, since time seems to have begun for human beings. There's that kind of fear of the other, which we as humans are going to have to overcome, or we just won't evolve. But then there's the instilled kind of fear of ET that Hollywood has tried to place. And there's an agenda there, I believe, by there are powers that want to cover up and have been covering up the ET presence worldwide for decades, for just at least since last century and possibly before. They recognize that as long as we can project the fear we have of other human beings who are different than ourselves and project it onto ET as being different too, you know, not the same height, not the same color as us, maybe a few bug eyes, whatever, then they've got us. Because as long as they can make us fear that other and use the media through all those weird aliens are going to eat us movies, then they've succeeded. Because then human beings who are in fear of ET are not likely to make contact. They're not likely to want to. Now, why is that important, people would ask, is that if ET were allowed to make the full kind of contact that that intelligence wants to, that all these civilizations, who, by the way, are cooperating with each other to make a massed approach to us, what they would bring us if we could be stilled long enough and quiet enough and peaceful enough to communicate with them and with each other. Imagine, they have the secrets to free energy, to medical marvels and miracles that would cure our diseases, that would help us clean up the pollution on a worldwide basis. Their civilizations have gotten this far to visit us because these civilizations have overcome the same kind of tendencies towards the dark side of other natures. And having overcome them, why wouldn't they want to come to places here where we're still struggling with that and help us out, you know, to lend us a helping hand?
Can we talk about the dark side for a minute? Certainly there is a dark side within humans and a shadow side that we need to come to terms with if we're going to evolve spiritually. And pardon the interruption, I had a few questions related to some of the things that you've been saying. So one of them has to do with whether or not there's any indication or evidence or belief that there have been alien beings who have not been benevolent who've visited here. And then I'll have a couple of follow-up questions after that.
The universe is a very, very huge place, and I'm not naive enough to believe that every visitor here has had the highest intentions, you know, historically speaking. So I would tend to say that, yes, there have been civilizations that have been here in the past. I'm not a scholar on that, and I know there's various thought leaders in that area, talking about Anunnaki and others, that develop their thesis about that. And I'm not here to say that I don't believe that that has never happened. What I am wanting to say, though, about that dark side is that the overwhelming presence of benevolent civilizations today is rooting out any, slowly, maybe not fast enough, but neutralizing any of the dark that has been there before. And that's giving us a fair chance to evolve and to start with a different program, which is to create a golden era on Earth instead of one of, you know, slavery and bondage to each other and to maybe alien races that were here before. So, yeah, there have been cosmic influences here that haven't been so nice. But, again, I want to concentrate on who's here now and look at the future and what we can create.
Yeah.
And the vision that we can have, because without a vision right now, we will perish.
Well, I didn't mean to cast fear. It's just
no problem.
Yeah, it's a point of curiosity, and I'm of the belief that light always overcomes darkness, and that goodness always overcomes that which it does not seem to be good. That there is a happy ending in store for all of us if we're open to it. And a lot of that has to do with what I subscribe to as the law of attraction, that what we put out, we get in return. But I'm thinking of the X-Files as an example of a program that has had to do with the subject of ETs. And, of course, a lot of the ETs portrayed there have been malignant. And I'm wondering if there are ETs that walk among us similar to the X-Files, hopefully benevolent ones.
I truly believe that there are those races that probably are indistinguishable from humans as we know them. You know, white, brown, red, yellow, whatever, and that there's a certain number of them that walk among us. Certainly in my community, the at ETLetsTalk.com, I've had individuals come forward and describe that they are such or that they are friends with such. Now, anybody can make any kind of claims. So, you know, we can't believe everything we hear. But once you start hearing this over and over from different areas of people who don't know each other, then you're kind of starting to figure something's going on. All these people, they don't know each other, and they're saying similar stuff. So there's some element of truth there, and I'm willing to accept that they would immerse themselves into our civilizations and try again within the free will that humanity is allowed, try to help us as much as they're allowed to. The thing you said about the dark, I might have sounded a little bit strident, but I just wanted to say that I think it's a legitimate thing to bring up that topic. None of us are Pollyannas. You know, you can't turn on the TV and believe that everything on the surface anyway is always all goodness and light. We do have a struggle going on within all of our psyches individually and collectively to let the better part of our natures, the light, eventually neutralize the dark. I suspect you believe that like I do, that the universe at its most deepest level is a loving, evolutionary, benevolent place.
Yes, I do.
However, in the dimensions that we're in right now, in the infinite dimensions that are of the infinite dimensions that are out there, in time and space, in this duality in which we live, the light and the dark struggle within us and on larger scales and maybe on the scales of solar systems and galaxies, you know, it goes on. But in the end, I believe as you do, that the whole purpose of that is for the light to reveal the dark and to allow us as sovereign beings to choose to evolve and to choose love over fear and to become as perfect as the Creator is and to join with the Creator. So, yeah, I believe in the happy ending. What we're trying to do right now in this community is ensure that we have one, that we're part of that right now. We are activists and want to be part of the process that where we're contributing to help the awakening come and to make ordinary people aware that ET is out there and the vast benevolent ones are here out of love. And I have some anecdotes or some stories I can tell you along those lines that have touched me and given me a personal experience of what that's like.
Yeah, I have a few more follow-up questions, and then let's get into that.
Okay.
Just backing up, there was, you may have made a direct statement or an implied statement about how there's been historical evidence, not just of visitations, but physical evidence about ETs. Now, I've heard stories that perhaps some of the Stonehenge, the pyramids, things mm-hmm. like that may have been inspired by ETs. What are your thoughts and beliefs about that?
I would totally agree with that. And again, I cite David Wilcock, whom I admire very much because of his scholarly approach. He's the kind of guy who will make statements or write, and then he'll give you, as if you were writing a term paper, references to where he got the information, and then he connects the dots and puts it together. So he's influenced me a lot in terms of the archaeological evidence of past ET visitation. It's apparent from ancient texts that the miraculous things that happened in Egypt, with the pyramids, as well as in other parts of the world, because miraculous types of constructions happen in other cultures too.
Yes.
There does seem to be a really strong thread of space gods writing in machines, written about, like in the Vedas, for example. They're very open about that. And in other cultures, they are too. So those are my thoughts. I tend to believe that they've walked among us. We've probably looked upon them as gods. They left a legacy. And we've done different as human beings. Once we're left a legacy, we're totally capable of screwing it up and turning it to into control programs over other human beings. But that's not the ET's fault. I would say I do believe that, and I would ask people to check out what David Wilcock has written. My wife and I recently got a subscription to Gaiam, the network. You're probably familiar with that, with a lot of positive media that shows that they have. Yeah, Gaiam TV. It's a GAIAM. I think if you just Googled Gaiam TV, it might just be Gaiam.com, but maybe it's GaiamTV.com. I'm not sure. But Google the phrase Gaiam TV. And I have no connection with them, so this is not an advertisement for them because I'm getting anything, but only because I'm so impressed that they have programs, 5,000 videos, programs, half of them about yoga, but the other half featuring teachers like David Wilcock who are coming forth with some of this ancient knowledge and bringing it up to date for us. And I have learned so much just listening to him in particular on this particular topic. And that's why I recommend people just check it out. It's very little money for a whole lot of content.
Is that the best way, the Gaiam TV, for people to get information about David?
If he were here, I'm sure he would say so, because he has a weekly series for half an hour and has, mm-hmm. and has done that for at least 2 years, maybe 3 years. And so he's not shy about it. He's put himself out there and actually risked his life with some of the information he's brought out. There are other teachers there on this topic, too. I just haven't had time to explore them. But you can go on the Internet. You can find YouTubes on all kinds of topics. I mean, this is an amazing electronic universe we have now. But the reason I mentioned Gaiam is because it's one organized place, one shop there, where you can, like walking into an electronic bookstore, choose the teachers you like to watch and watch their series and then go to the next one, whatever. It's just a convenient place to do that. I'm not saying it's the only place. There are a tremendous amount of books out there on this topic now, too.
Just to let you know, we appear to have a caller. There's not a number connected to it, and we'll try bringing that person live in just a moment. Just one other follow-up question that I had, and this had to do, again, with the dark. And just from a spiritual point of view, it seems to me, and please offer your ideas, thoughts, beliefs, whatever about it, that it is so important to let go of the dark, not just within ourselves, but our past. I mean, we can learn from it, but it's so important to move on and to go with the flow and move toward the light if we are going to evolve as a civilization and move towards an integrated society where we can enjoy peace and love and all things positive.
I totally agree with that. The dark is everywhere, and of course, what you put your attention on just expands. And that's why I like the phrase there of to let go of it, and not in a naive way and say, no, the baser things do not exist, but in a way of saying the light is stronger, love is stronger than that, and love will neutralize it and dispel the lower vibrations. So, yes, we should move towards the light. It's almost a requirement right now. You know, we have so many planetary challenges, you know, whether it's the climate, our economic systems, our banking systems, our the U.S. military machine, lots of different things that blow this for all of us. So it's almost an imperative that we do move toward the light and find ways to integrate, to cooperate, to practice goodwill, to practice love, to stand up and let ourselves be heard. Because I guarantee you, when people do not stand up, people who are not as enlightened find a way to take over and control others. And they need to know that once enough good people stand up, that will not continue to happen. The light will overcome the darkness. And that's what we're trending toward. I think that's what the extraterrestrial in civilizations know. They've likely fought these same battles and overcome them. They're here to try to help us as much as possible to recognize that we do have divinity within us, that the light does prevail, that love does prevail. And if we would only exercise it, stand up, join with our neighbors, and to the evil things in the world say, this far, no further, no more. We're moving forward.
Yes. Let me give you the opportunity to share some anecdotes, and then let's take the call.
Okay. I mentioned how I've had personal experiences where extraterrestrial intelligence has shown their joy and love at connection. With my wife, I was at a contact training at Mount Shasta. I think it was in 2009, 2010. I've made repeated trips there, so the years kind of blend together. But we were doing an ET contact week there. We were out every night for many hours at a height of about 6,000 or 7,000 feet up the mountain in a certain spot to do our contact. And what that would involve is a group meditation outside in a circle, all bundled up, because at night up there on the mountain, it gets to be cold, especially when you're sitting still. On this particular night, we had a cloud cover, and there was a group of about 40, 50 people who had shown up and who were part of the week-long training. We were outside in this huge circle, if you can imagine, you know, with chairs set up, that it would have to be big to accommodate that many people. It was drizzly and overcast, but at the end of the meditation, my wife, who was sitting next to me, just tugged on my sleeve and said, "Oh my God, look straight overhead." So I craned my head straight up overhead, and the sky had cleared like a circle that was clear with the stars shining. Even though there were still clouds and no wind everywhere else in the sky, it's as if, and this has happened other times to us and to other groups we know in the network who've reported this, so it's not that unusual, but this was the first time it happened to me, and I was blown away. It's like, look at that clear sky. There's stars shining through. How'd we do that? And in the middle of that circle, there was one particular bright light that wasn't one of the known stars, and it was pulsing. And we sent a thought to it and said, which we often do, if you're extraterrestrial, would you pulse brighter? And it did, in a pattern. And then flared back down and stayed stationary. So it wasn't like a satellite that was moving, you know, across the sky. We've seen plenty of those. It was stationary and responded that way. Now, even cooler than that was, in those same moments, a wispy cloud just started appearing out of the blackness up there in the clear area that was above us. The way that you might see like a dry ice, like you say you're at a rock show, and for a special effect, this dry ice smoke starts coming up from the stage, you know, and gets foggy and all that. That's kind of what started happening out of the blackness of space. This wispy cloud started growing, getting thicker, bigger, and by this time the rest of the group is pointing and looking up, so it's got our attention, right? And over the course of a couple minutes, this cloud formed a thick shape right overhead, and it was the shape of a heart, like a cardioid, you know, the classic Valentine's heart kind of thing. It was a heart cloud. Mm-hmm. Came out of nowhere, and we're all just going, wow. And it was very clearly a heart, and it was huge, and everybody saw it. From across the circle, one of the people yelled out to the rest of us, I've just had a telepathic communication from the ETs up there, and they wanted me to tell all of you the following. We love you. And they left it at that. I can't make this up. It was witnessed by many other people, and it stays with me. So I was stone sober, alert at 50 degrees of temperature. You know, you're all there, you know, when these things happen. And I will never have allow anyone to tell me, no, you made that up or you were just imagining it. Right. I don't think so. They love us. And that was a very clear way in a human understandable terms that they could show us in that context. And we would all understand.
Great. Well, let's go to the call, and then if there's more time, if you have more anecdotes to share, I certainly have a lot of questions to ask you, which means I may need to have you back on again. But would you be open to taking a call at this moment?
Sure.
Okay. Hello, you are live on the air with David Clark and Costa Macrius. Who do I have here?
Hey guys, first time caller, long time caller. My name is Dominic. Nice to speak to the pair of you. I'm feeling a lot of really positive energy in the radio tonight. This is I just want to say I really love the show. I just want to get your opinions on the recent sort of archaeological discoveries in South Korea.
I would like to know about them. There's so much going on in terms of this stuff. I'm not up to speed on that. Can you tell us?
Of course. Basically, there were these sort of low hills set out in kind of an octagonal pattern. But certainly some archaeological work has been done on two of them, and it looks like they're not actually hills, but they're sort of octangularly arranged pyramids, similar in style to the Egyptian ones and the ones in South America as well. And they're called the Gualyagun pyramids. I don't know if that rings a bell or not. I just want to know what your opinions on sort of the patterns of pyramids that we're seeing sort of throughout the world. That seem to correspond with certain ancient groups and, you know, the spread of spiritual energy throughout the region.
I certainly believe that it's possible all those are of interstellar / human origin, you know, no matter where they're appearing.
Sure.
I'm not enough of a scholar about it to be able to tell you, are those pyramids in South Korea, as the Egyptian ones or ones in South America, for example.
Some not quite hieroglyphics, but caricatures sort of halfway between hieroglyphics and the traditional Korean script. They've sort of transliterated them into Korean phrases. Klaatu Nikto
Dominic, just to let you know, some very strange things are happening with your voice. I'm not sure how you're going into us.
Taking me up.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not hearing that.
You're not understandable at this point. If there's another way that you can call us back,
I'm going to take you off the line now, and
I'm not sure what to make of it. It almost made me wonder if dealing with an extraterrestrial, but you know, that's my imagination. And Dominic, if you can call in by some other means, because there's no phone number associated with his call, which is very unusual. So at any rate, I don't know if there's anything that you want to reflect upon that particular communication, Costa.
Being that I don't know that much about those particular pyramids, I don't have that much to say about them. Now, the manner in which that information was delivered, with all those distortions going from a guttural kind of sound to different voices and then saying different things, I have no idea. I do know that we do get reports, and it's happened to me, of distortion. Sometimes some of the human groups that are the control groups over this phenomenon trying to do the cover-up, they will interfere with programs like this. But I can't say what this was, and it could have been just a prankster who had something pre-recorded and just wanted to mess up the show. I don't know for sure, but let's just move forward. And
absolutely,
absolutely. Later.
Well, anybody can listen to it later by going into the archives. All they have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark with an E, and it will bring up the archives of all of the shows that I've done, and all they have to do is click on this one and push the play button, and they can listen to it again if somebody has tuned in late and wants to listen to it. Also, the phone lines are open for anybody that may be listening now that wants to talk to Costa or has any questions. Do you have any other anecdotes that you'd like to share?
Yes, I do. I'll go back to the one that put me on this path of creating the ETLetsTalk.com community, because it was very formative for me. I had an interest in UFOs when I was a child, for example, and in astronomy and in science fiction. And in the 60s, there was NASA, the space program, and the moon landings. So, and there was also Star Trek, and it was a wonderful decade to be alive in the 60s if you were all about space, as I was. So I picked up my first UFO book as a young man and was smitten and wanted to learn as much as I could. There were not as many of them out there as there are today. Well, fast forward to 2006, when one afternoon I was just surfing and just decided to find out what's going on in the UFO field. I haven't really delved into this since I was a kid. You know, certainly there's a lot on the internet, and there was, but in particular, I discovered the Disclosure Project, which was seeking to get governments to admit about the cover-up that they were doing. And it also that the project also had a lot of witnesses from the military, from aviation, from companies, so a lot of whom had come up from as whistleblowers from the dark projects, the black projects, which we can talk about a little bit more later. But that all of this so opened my eyes, and I thought there's really something going on. There's all these witnesses, guys with medals on their chest, talking about recovering bodies, trying to shoot UFOs down, tracking them on radar. I mean, it just went on and on, hours of testimony. So I decided to go to a training for a week near my home, about 4 hours away, Mount Shasta, where we would be out in a group every night, and we were taught to use consciousness and meditation to connect telepathically with these star visitors. Those are called the CE5 protocols, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which are human-initiated encounters, not passive ones, but we humans go out and say, hi, we're here, let's connect, let's talk. So using consciousness and meditation, we spent night after night during that week-long training. It was my habit to call my wife the following morning after the previous night and just we had seen in the sky, we had ground phenomenon as well. A lot of things that we learned to identify as not being of this earth, because it's important to learn what you're looking at in the sky and on the ground. So once you eliminate all the known stuff, we were taught to then recognize what genuinely was an otherworldly craft or encounter. So I was telling these to my wife every morning. About the fourth or fifth morning, oh, and I have to mention, let me back up, she had said to me before I went on this week-long excursion, listen, I support you in what you're doing. I know they're here. I do believe that there's life everywhere and that they're visiting Earth, but I don't understand what they have to do with my daily life. You know, I pay bills, I go to school, I go to work. Doesn't really affect me, but, you know, go have fun. And so that's the spirit in which I went to Shasta for that week and made contact. So here I am telling her the stories of what I saw, and about the fourth morning, before I could start my little spiel, you know, going, ooh, guess what I saw last night, she says to me, stop right there. I have a story for you. Last night, as I turned off the light in our bedroom, just getting ready to settle and going to bed, I looked at the foot of our bed, and with my physical eyes still wide awake, because she's a clairvoyant and she sees things internally, but she was very specific telling me, I saw this with my physical open eyes, wide awake. At the foot of our bed, there were these four, maybe five, translucent beings standing there. They weren't perfectly solid, but they were mostly there. They were translucent. They were 3.5-4 feet high, bipedal, you know, head, arms, legs. She couldn't see the features, but they were looking at her. She could feel their thoughts in a way, their energy, because she is psychic, and they were looking at her very intently as she lay there in the bed, very startled. And they were saying to her, who are you? Who are you? She said they were very sweet. The energy was so loving coming off of them. She was startled and kind of gobsmacked, but not afraid, because there was no reason to be afraid. They were just really curious. The best that we can figure is that they followed maybe an energy cord from me where I was in Shasta, calling her every day, kind of wondering, well, who's on the other end of this energy this guy's putting out on a regular basis? Who's he talking to? And we speculate that that's how they found her where our home was, and we're just curious to know who she was and what relationship she had to me. She could barely get it together to say to them, where are you from? No other questions that you would wanted to know, but she was just, again, so startled. And they spelled out the words, or they sounded out the words Arcturus in her mind, which she admits she could have heard elsewhere, but she really wasn't the kind of person into astronomy or astrology or anything. So her question to me was, well, have you heard of this place Arcturus? And I said, yeah, it's a star system, very well known. And they very well could have been from there. But that's an amazing experience, because she knows what she saw. They eventually kind of dematerialized from the bed. She was no worse the wear and just full of wonder. Her next comment to me is, my jaw is hitting the ground listening to this story, right? She says to me, next year, I'm coming with you, cowboy. You know, I'm going to do the training. She goes, now it's personal.
Oh, that's great. That's a great story. We just have time for maybe one more question and answer. You talked a little bit about how some of the people in your group have been initiating contact with ETs. How can everyday people learn how to do that?
Easy. And thank you for allowing me to make a pitch here, which I'm happy to do. Just have people please come to etletstalk.com. That's ETLETSTALK, one word, ET Let's Talk. The membership is free. We have a lot of information. describing how you can form a group and use the very simple free protocols to make your own contact. And we also have words there telling you what you can expect, the different ways that they might be contacting you. We also have a map there, people who've placed themselves kind of like on a Google map. You can zoom in and go back and forth and find the email addresses and names of people in your town or next door to your town or in another country and contact them. That's the community part of this, where people, we're encouraging people to share their experiences, to find each other on this map. And that's also free to use, too. So I encourage people to come there to learn, to become their own authorities, to try this. They can do it any time of night or day, anywhere, because the ETs, it doesn't have to be dark. It doesn't have to be the sky. The ETs will find a way. And I ask people just to persevere, because the common core to all this is an open heart, goodwill, no fear, no prove it to me, kicking the tires kind of skepticism. Being open-minded is okay, but people who go in with a low hostile vibration or fear likely will not get results, because they're blocking their own receptivity. ET is wanting to help us evolve and to raise our vibration and our frequencies, and you do that through love, through an open heart, through goodwill, through an open mind, and approaching them in that way, and they will respond sooner or later in some way to you. And then you can post your report there on the website. I hold a monthly event where I coordinate all our worldwide groups over a 24-hour period. It's usually on a Saturday, closest to the new moon, when we have a dark sky. And even though people can make contact anytime they want, at least once a month I like to get the group together virtually, where we join together no matter where we are as one united group, showing ET that we are a growing movement of peaceful human beings that want to be ambassadors to the stars with them, and that they can count on us to be peaceful people. And we also visualize where we are so that if they want to come visit, whether physically or in a ship or in the sky, they know where each of our groups are located. So that's the experience that kind of awaits. It's experiential. You know, try it, report on it, try it again. And if it doesn't suit you, you can walk away. But etletstalk.com is a place where we offer all that. And I might add, the bigger picture really is, let's co-create with them. They have something to show us and they want to help us, but they need our free will cooperation, because there's just so much that they will not impose on us, because that would be inhibiting our chance to grow ourselves.
Talk about that another time, because I think really spend a lot of time talking about that. Very interesting thought. And of course, just the whole subject of free will covers a lot of ground. But I really would like to thank you for being on the show today. The hour has gone so quickly.
Yes, it has. It has. And I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about what we're doing. I encourage people
to come
join us.
Okay. Well, once again, if people are interested in contacting people in the know, it's etletstalk.com. And with that said, I'm going to say goodbye to you, Costa, and thank you again.
Goodbye and thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.